This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. So you're listening to Deborah Wolf, that's me. I'm your host, and I've been hosting this show for a very long time. And one of the things I've noticed over the years is that sometimes animals pop into the news in unexpected ways. And usually I talk about cats and dogs, almost always, for most of the show. Sometimes I throw in a little bit about a pet bird or a horse or something else. But today I'm going to throw in something about a mouse. So, Scandinavian Airlines had a mouse crawl out of one of their meals during takeoff. And they actually didn't take off. All those people had to leave the plane and they had to decontaminate the plane. And can you imagine if you were on that plane and there was a mouse that crawled out of one of the meals? And then you had to get delayed and you had to wait for another plane because of a mouse. So why would they wait? I mean, maybe you just don't eat that time, right? Well, apparently the worry was that not only did this mouse escape, so it was loose in the plane and no one knew where, but also maybe there were more mice. And then even if it was just the one, there was the potential that it could chew on valuable components and they didn't want to risk it. So even a giant airplane and a whole bunch of humans can get stopped by one tiny mouse. All the more reason to have cats wherever you are so you don't have mice infestations. Well, that's how I read that. Anyway, we're gawking on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. And I was telling a friend of mine, he was trying to talk to my dogs and he was using the word goat. Repeatedly, he was saying to the dogs, did you chase the goats today? Are you chasing goats? And he was talking about an incident that had happened earlier when a gate had been left open. And one 10-year-old poodle, standard poodle, big poodle, and one 5-year-old golden doodle got into the goat pen and chased them around for a while. And I had to go in there and first catch the younger doodle. Well, first catch the goat the doodle was chasing, have my worker from the kennel help catch the dog, put it with the other one, and then we went to the next field, and it was really easy to catch the older poodle. He didn't really want to. He was just sort of dancing around. But the doodle was grabbing the goat, and that's not nice. She wasn't hurting it. She was grabbing it like a retriever grabs things with a soft mouth. But the goat was not impressed, and the goat was screaming, and I was out in the garden. I heard this whole thing, and if you've never heard a goat scream, well, it's something. And so I went running. And the goat's fine, the dogs are fine, everybody's fine. But my friend was talking to them and he kept saying goat. And they were just completely ignoring him. And he said, they don't seem to know what that word is. And I said, well, no, they're hearing you say go, G-O. And they're looking at you and they see you're not wearing shoes, you don't have a jacket on, you don't have a leash in your hand. They think it's just chatter. They're tuning you out. If you really want them to know you're talking about the goats, then make the noise the goats make. Give a little and they'll know right away. So he did that. And immediately all the dogs came running to him and their ears perked up. And see, they don't really need another word for goat. That is perfectly good. And it's completely, immediately tells them what you're talking about. So in a lot of times when we try to talk to animals, we complicate things. Cats in particular, I find, they're really interested in verbs, you know? Not so much sentences and adjectives and stories like the dogs are. No, they like verbs. They like words like chase, climb, catch, run. These are the words cats like. And they like thoughts and words and sentences that have to do with an action. Cat chase mouse. That's a good one for a cat, right? cat back scratch. Scratch cat's back. That's a good one for a cat. If you want to think a message to a cat and have him come over, think, I'll scratch your back. The word scratch is in there, right? Think those things. Now, for a dog, you can think more things and you can add more words because they love stories as long as every few words is something they recognize. So one of the things I like to do with dogs when I'm driving in the car and I have a group of them or something, when a radio comes on, is I'll sing along to whatever song's on the radio but I'll just change the odd word. You know, throw in the word walk, throw in the word ball, throw in a couple of their names. Now, all of a sudden, they're enjoying the music as much as I am. So there's a tip for you with dogs and cats and how to talk to them. I'm going to answer a reader's question. Someone sent in an email saying, I know you've talked about this before, but I'd really like to hear it again. And they said, how can you tell when you have more than one cat, how can you tell the bully from the victim? And that's interesting. They're using my words because that's how I describe it. But he's basically got a long story about how his cats pick on each other. And he's got three cats. And he's not really sure who the bottom cat is and who the top cat is or who's responsible. So we're going to talk about that after the break. Stay tuned on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. This is Deborah Wolf, host of Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. You know the expression, cats have nine lives? Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations, too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, you're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio with me, Deb Wolf, and we're going to talk about how you tell the bully from the victim. It's not always that easy. So for one thing, the cat making all the noise is usually not the bully. That's usually the victim. Okay, so that's one tip. But not always, but usually. I mean, sometimes you have a noisy cat and a quiet cat, and the noisy cat will be making all the noise. But generally speaking, the one complaining is the one who's scared and being victimized. And oftentimes, all you'll hear is a noise sort of like this. Something like that. That's the cat who's scared and upset and about to get picked on. So that's one way to tell. The other way to tell is when they're in the same room together. Say you come home or you're feeding them or something. They have some reason to want to go to the same place at the same time. Watch how they move. The one that just marches straight and direct right to you or right to the thing it wants, the dog food, the cat food, the cat treat jar, the grooming tool, whatever it is they're going for, the play toy, the cat scratch, whatever, the litter box. The one who goes directly to what it wants is the bully. That's the confident cat. The one who kind of slinks around the edges and peeks out a little bit and maybe darts for cover and then... and surreptitiously, secretly tries to get into the litter or the food or whatever. That one, that's the victim. Okay, so that's a really good way to tell. Another way to tell, and this is a little trickier, you have to kind of get it in your head that cats have timeshare. Now, I know that's a bit tricky to understand, but it's true. So here's how I explain it. You don't want to go to Mexico and rent that place and have your timeshare in that beautiful place during hurricane season, right? That would be a lousy timeshare. The only time you could use that beautiful place in Florida or Mexico or wherever was right in the middle of hurricane season on the beach in the Target area. You don't want that. But if you could use that place at Christmas, well, that would be quite nice, right? And timeshare, you'd want something else in July. You wouldn't want to be in the hottest place where the storms are coming. You might want to go, I don't know where you'd want to go, but you'd want to go somewhere else. So that's how timeshare works with cats too. So I'll give you an example. The top of the bookcase, when the sun is shining through the window on that bookcase, that's Florida in December to the cats. As soon as the sun moves, that place has no value, right? Or very little value. There's another place that has more value. So the confident cat, the cat who's in charge, gets the primo location. He gets, or she gets, the highest perch that they want in the sun. when the sun is shining. Now, if you live in a hot, hot climate, that might be the spot next to the fan or the air conditioner. You have to figure out what your cat values. What primo location at the primo time is where they all want to be. And whoever's there, that's your dominant cat. All right. So when we come back, because we talked about cats, I better talk about dogs. I'll tell you how you tell who's dominant. Who's the aggressor before the fight begins when two dogs meet in the park? Stay tuned on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. Oh, and cat lovers, there's one more story for you. 1,000 miles. Oh yeah, a cat and 1,000 miles. Stay tuned on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
You know the expression, cats have 9 lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello. You're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. And how do you tell if two dogs meeting in the park, who's going to throw the fight and why there's a fight starting? Well, normally with two dogs, they greet each other friendly at first. Usually, if both dogs are sometimes social or most of the time social. I'm not talking about the dogs who just hate everybody, hate all dogs. No, I'm not talking about that. Talk about dogs who generally get along, but sometimes there's a problem and you don't know why. Okay. So you got these two dogs. They greet each other at first. Tails are wagging, maybe a little stiffly because they're not sure yet. Not the loose da-dump wag. It's more of an alert wag. Ding, 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 ding. But not straight up, not stiff posture. Muscles aren't tensed. Okay. They're about to go nose to nose. And normally the next step would be bum to nose, right? They're getting each other's scent. And they sort of turn and turn and turn so each smells the other at the same time. Okay. That's normal. And then they would walk to something, if it's close, like a post, a fire hydrant, whatever, tree. And each would take a turn making a pee. And they would smell the area around that to get more information about the other dog. How old he is, how healthy he is, what he eats, where he lives, all that. All that's contained in the urine because they've followed it around the neighborhood. And they know where this dog lives. And they're just getting an idea of who this guy is and where he lives and what the background is and what he's up to, right? So all that's going on. That's normal. What's not, another normal when there's about to be a fight is the two dogs approach head to head. And one dog says, I'm taller than you. And instead of going to sniff the other's bum and giving his bum to be sniffed, instead of all that politeness, it's kind of like a handshake or a high five or a fist bump in the human world. No, it doesn't do that. Instead, he does what's kind of like a chin nod, an aggressive chin nod that two men might do before they're going to fight. And so what he does is he puts his head higher than the other dog's head and he says, I'm bigger, I'm taller, my head's bigger than yours. Now the other one, if it's a submissive dog or a sweet dog or different gender from the first one, dog not inclined to fight, will often just sort of bow his head, stick his bum in the air to say, I would like to play. And then they'll probably burst into play and everything's fine. Top dog got to be top dog. But if the second dog says, well, wait a minute, I'm bigger, younger, tougher than you. I don't want to be second dog to anybody. What he does is he puts his head higher than the first dog's head, right on top of his head, maybe not touching, but above. Now, if you don't pull these dogs back, you are likely to have a fight in about 2 seconds. So pull them back and walk away because you've just had the equivalent of one guy pushing another guy in the chest and the other guy pushing back. And in 2 seconds, it's going to be an explosion. So you got to work on heel. You got to work on manners. You got to work on socialization. If your dogs are intact, you got to avoid other intact dogs. That's what's going on there. And since we're talking about this, I met the most lovely boxer the other day. He's about 7. And so leaving his prime, entering his senior years. And he's adorable. He's two legs on the ground most of the time. He's bouncing around. He loves the ball. Sweet, sweet dog. Barked at us when we arrived. Didn't know us. Growled at us a little bit, just like he should. But once he knew us, he was great. He was in their backyard playing with them. All was good. But what about taking that dog somewhere else? So they took that dog one time, who's intact, somewhere where there were lots of females running around. And they suspect he went and mated. They suspect that. They tried to control him, but it didn't work. He got away a few years ago. Well, what's the problem with that? The problem with that is that that dog probably produced puppies by whatever mutt it found at this campsite they were at. And what's the problem with that? Well, all those puppies will be mistaken for pit bull cross, even though there is no pit bull in them whatsoever. They're boxers. And probably generations will be produced of dogs that look like pit bull crosses. Now, some pit bulls are perfectly fine, but in today's climate, the last thing you want is a mutt that looks like a pit bull, because it's far more likely to be treated harshly or put down or not allowed off leash or whatever else is applying to pit bulls right now. So if you have a boxer out there, you should neuter him or keep him on leash all the time, because, you know, there are whole areas like here. There's a suburb called Richmond, a city just outside of Vancouver, where the Vancouver airport is. And they have a rule that all square-faced dogs are considered vicious without ever having an offense. Now, the boxer isn't in that list, but he sure looks like everybody else on the list. You see the pictures. If your dog looks like this, and they have a picture of a mastiff, and then they have a picture, and I don't mean a bull mastiff, they have a picture of like a Dogo Argentino or a Cane Corso or something. And then the next picture is a pit bull. And then the next picture, you know, and it just, you see the array. There's like 6 pictures of faces, dog heads, and they're all square. Yeah, you don't want your dog mistaken for that. If I had a boxer, I don't think I'd want to live in Richmond right now. I think I'd want to live somewhere else, because you've got a very harmless dog that's going to be mistaken as a very, oh, Rottweiler's on the list too, everybody, of course. So I don't believe in breed bans. I don't like them. I don't think they affect the people they should. I think the bad apples still are bad. But I do understand where the fear comes from. And I wish people who own these dogs would be extra aware of that and extra careful to always present the positive side of their breed, the friendly social side, work on their breeds, work on their dogs, so they're just the most loving lassie type dogs that you could have. Dispel that bad image. Have them carrying balls so no one thinks they're out for no good when they're in a park. You know, make it easy. All right, so there's something else in the news. 1,000 miles from Yellowstone Park to California, the cat came back. It wasn't the very next day, but the cat came back. They thought he was a goner, but the cat came back from Yellowstone to California. Holy moly. Now, only 10% of cats that are lost actually get reunited with their owners. So don't think this means that it's okay to leave the door open. It isn't. Or okay to take your cat on vacation with no harness, no ID, no leash. No, it isn't. Microchip that guy. But 60% of dogs who are lost get returned, but only 10% of cats. So you really want to be careful, even though there's this one good news story. It took that cat a long time, and it must have been an absolutely harrowing experience being prey hunted all along the way. So we don't want that for our cats. All right, everybody, we're coming to the end of the show. I had another question a while back, which I thought was really interesting. And it was, do some cats speak dog? Do some dogs speak cat? Now, I know what they're talking about, and they were probably listening to a show where I was saying to everybody in the audience, this is how you speak dog. This is how you greet your dog. This is how you speak cat. This is how you greet your cat, right? So that's kind of my terminology, speak dog, speak cat. And yes, some dogs speak cat, some cats speak dog. So we've all seen, well, maybe we haven't. I've seen dogs who can charm cats. They can charm cats they've never met. They can charm cats who are afraid of dogs. They have this ability to show the right body posture and the right amount of attention and inattention so that the cat will let them approach and even become friends with them. that dog speaks cat. A different example, years ago, I worked with the Skipper Key. She just came for boarding. And Skipper Key is a little black dog, sort of looks like a Pekingese, but it has a really round back end. Looks like, looks like it ran into a wall backwards, sort of, with a bent up tail. They're adorable. And they're usually black. Maybe they're always black. I don't know. This one was black. Gorgeous little dog. So little, you could lift it up real easy, but big enough to actually, you know, do something. Not tiny, like you have to worry. Bigger, slightly bigger than a cat. Maybe a cat and a half. Okay. So Kaylee, when I met her, I visited the house and was meeting the lady and signing her up. And she took me into the room, and there was one cat in the room, and Kaylee was in the room. And I noticed right away that Kaylee started rubbing against me like a cat. Rubbing and then turning around and rubbing and then turning around and winding herself around my legs. And I said, "This is really strange. Your dog is behaving like a cat." And she started to laugh. And I said, "What? Why is this? Like, you know, I'm looking at the cat. The cat's sitting there doing nothing. And the dog is completely behaving like a cat. The only thing it's not doing is purring." And I said that. I said, "The only thing it's not doing is purring." And she said, "Oh, she does that sometimes too." "What are you talking about?" She said, "Well, she makes this noise with her mouth that's like a purr." I said, "Why is your dog so much like a cat?" And she said, "Come with me." And she opened these two French doors to the dining room. We'd been in a little studio office, and there were 11 cats in there. And I was like, "Oh my God, there's so many cats." She said, "Well, I had more. Two passed away last year." So Kaylee grew up, was a puppy, with 13 cats in the house. And then there was 11, and then there was 7 as I knew her. You know, the cats got older. But Kaylee was surrounded by cats and had all cat mannerisms. She would rub her eye with her paw and then lick her paw. She would rub against you like a cat. She would make a purr sound, which I eventually did hear. If you rubbed her just the right way on her chest, she would start to go brr, brr, in this really weird noise. She was a dog who completely spoke cat. So animals do bond early. Between 3 and 6 months, they're learning all this stuff. Who's a friend? Who's not a friend? What? How to speak? And that's when your dog or cat is most receptive to learning things. They're always receptive, but at that moment, they're like a sponge trying to absorb everything. And Kaylee absorbed how to speak cat. So there's your answer, everybody. I just want to let you know where you can find me. Animal Party is on PetLifeRadio.com, where you can subscribe. But you can also find this show on iTunes and Spotify and everywhere podcasts play. I'd love it if you subscribe so you don't miss a show. But also on social media, you can find my training demos with real cats and real dogs, naughty ones. You can check that out at Deb Wolf Pet Expert on YouTube. And for pet laughs and great social media posts, you can see Deb Wolf Pet Expert on Facebook. Here at Animal Party, I welcome your pet questions, comments, and guest suggestions, especially if you have a pet problem. I'm begging you like a beagle. Please send me a voice clip message or text message to dev@petliferadio.com and I'll answer your question on the air. I can even, if you send me your contact information, we will try to arrange to speak with you off air, record it, and solve your problem together. If you're a first-time listener, you can scroll through the older shows and find a topic or expert guest that really speaks to you. Maybe it's dog breed bans, or the royal family pets, or pets in war zones, or how to train your cat to use a litter box. Whatever it is, you can find it on one of my old shows, and they're all there at PetLifeRadio.com. So I hope you'll tune in wherever you listen to podcasts to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. And from me, Deb Wolf and Animal Party, be good to your animals. Ciao, meow.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.